An aging reservoir southeast of Fayetteville is getting a much-needed makeover. Ozarks at Large's Jacqueline Froelich takes us there.
Lake Sequoia, just a few miles southeast of downtown Fayetteville, has long been a prime spot for fishing and boating. But in recent years, the lake has become so choked with sediment and become so shallow that geese tend to mostly flock to this place. Lake Sequoia, which impounds the White River, was originally constructed as a drinking water supply in 1958 by the city of Fayetteville. By 1972, the city was tapping Beaver Water District as a water source. So now the lake and park are used primarily for recreation and habitat for fish, waterfowl, and gray herons. Mike McBride operates a bait shop next to the lake and manages the boat launch. He grew up here.
There's catfish, lots of crappie, a lot of black bass, the smallmouth bass, there's a few of them. We got a good walleye run that's below the dam that come up out of Beaver Lake to come up to below the dam here. And there's a lot of white bass, so we've got a little bit of everything.
But channel catfish, once common, no longer can be caught here, says Billy Ammons, who also grew up near Lake Sequoia.
Many of the species that used to exist here just aren't here anymore. Because they can't survive in this type of environment.
Today, Billy Ammons is a regional manager with the global engineering, construction, and operations firm CH2M Hill. And as a contract operator for the City of Fayetteville's Water and Wastewater Division, he's heading up a project to dredge Lake Sequoia.
And I think that one of the biggest reasons is because of the sediment. Honestly, people are uncomfortable running their boats across it, so they can't utilize it like they once did. I mean, when I was young, there would be, in the summertime, even in the wintertime, but especially when it was nice weather, there might be 50 to 100 boats out here on a Saturday.
Standing on a large open field on the southeastern lakeshore, 5 feet above the water, Billy Ammons points to two newly constructed bermed cells.
On one of them, there's a little, almost like an island in the center, that has a moat around the outside edge, upon which sits a large geotextile bag. We call it a geotube. The other beside it is, it just looks exactly like a pond. It's a sedimentation basin that has, the actual walls are about 6 feet high from the floor to the peak. And we use material, of course, from the field itself. So it's about 3 feet below ground level to the floor of the initial basin and of the moat on the geotube basin.
This past summer, a city crew placed a floating dredge onto the lake and pumped 1 million gallons of slurry, a combination of water mixed with 10 to 15% mud, into the settling cells.
The dredge set about 200 feet offshore most of that time and then slowly came toward this location on a cable. And with a kind of a grinder pump auger down in the sediment that would allow some water from the lake to be entrained with the sediment that was being churned up from the bottom so that, again, could get to a concentration that we could pump and push through this flexible hose that was held by floats coming across the top of the water. Then came to the shoreline, went through a structure of pipe which allowed us to add some polymer to cause the sediment to flocculate together more readily, and then was introduced into either the sedimentation basin or into the geotube.
The clarified water's pumped off, allowing the sediments to dry out in the sun. Sediments deemed safe will be bagged and sold as topsoil, which will help to offset costs. The rest can be used for municipal fill.
So our intent is to make it a sustainable operation that is where this product is reused in place of other soil products that would have to be dug out of the ground, which we hope will help to eliminate erosion in other places and take care of the results of erosion here. At the same time, protecting the entire water environment by extracting not only turbidity, but also especially phosphorus that is contained within this sediment that's here.
Phosphorus pollution has been a chronic problem in northwest Arkansas. It causes excess algae blooms that deplete oxygen and slime up streams and lakes with brown scum. Over the years, phosphorus-rich fertilizers, detergents, and poultry house wastes applied to farm fields, have washed into waterways where it attaches to sediments and slowly leaches out. Heavy metals and nitrogen may also lurk in some of the mud, also from various non-point sources.
All of this sediment that's accumulated here is strictly from erosion that has occurred in the Middle Fork and the East Forks, or Main Fork, of the White River. There are a number of reasons why erosion occurs. I serve on the Beaver Watershed Alliance Board, and we're investigating or working with a number of groups who are trying to determine causes. There are multiple causes.
And although Billy Ammons declined to point to any specific culprit, construction, gravel extraction, and riparian destruction have all contributed to rivers surging excess sedimentation into streams and lakes in both the White River and Illinois River watersheds. When this 440-acre lake, now shrunk to 390 acres, was first constructed, on average, it was around 15 feet deep.
And the average depth now is probably about, 5 to 6 feet.
Islands of muck rise from the middle of the lake and are beginning to grow vegetation. Timothy Tinsley, operator with CH2M Hill, oversaw the first dredge conducted with at least 10-foot wide by 40-foot long hydraulic device that floats on pontoons.
And it was essentially a large vacuum system. You know, it had a bit of a tiller in front of it to kind of break up the sediment in the bottom of the lake and then vacuum it up and send it through the 4-inch line inland to either the geotube or the settling basin.
Tinsley said the test dredge this summer was a success. And Billy Ammons said it's the best ecological approach to cleaning out the lake.
And the least expensive method would be to drain the lake totally, pump it totally dry, allow it to dry in the lake, and then bring in a number of bulldozers and excavators and thousands of dump truck loads and make a big mountain of sediment somewhere, or, you know, dirt. We don't want to do that.
Once the project is funded and cleared to proceed, multiple dredging sites will be built around the lake. Although the pilot dredging is complete, the crew continues to pump clarified lake water out of the test settling basin back into the reservoir. Fayetteville leased the hydraulic dredge from Howard Sludge Technology out of Muskogee, Oklahoma for the project. But to cut costs, the city's water division is looking at possibly purchasing a dredge, said Billy Ammons.
We will evaluate that, whether to go with subcontractors or city-owned equipment, and determine what is the most cost-effective solution for the city. There are some potential alternatives that could involve some ownership and some rental, and we'll just have to put a pen and paper to it and see which works out to be the best case scenario.
Representatives from another municipality have already visited the dredge site, and more are expected. Perhaps an opportunity for the city of Fayetteville to loan idle dredge equipment for a fee. Arkansas has more than 160 freshwater lakes, most of them artificial, like this one. And learning how to maintain the health of aging reservoirs is critical, said Billy Ammons and his team, to recreation, habitat, and most of all, human consumption. For Ozarks at Large, I'm Jacqueline Froelich.
Along with kayaking, canoeing, and fishing, Lake Sequoia has two nature trails, the King Fisher Trail, which extends north from the Bait Shop boat dock parking lot, about 1.5 miles along the east bank, and a newly constructed trail leads hikers across a pasture to an informational kiosk, then about 1.5 miles along the southern bank. If you'd like to learn more about Lake Sequoia, you can go to accessfayetteville.org.
In the first presidential debate, Republican challenger Mitt Romney kept President Barack Obama on defense. Our next debate is a town hall meeting where voters will control the questions. But which candidate will command the stage? I'm Guy Raz. Find out this evening when we'll bring you special coverage of the second presidential debate from NPR News.
Live coverage of the second presidential debate from NPR begins tonight at 8 on KUAF, with analysis from NPR to follow.
Can trails mean a better bottom line for business?